before the elders and the relationship that they have to the congregation, the responsibility that they have to the congregation, and the relationship that the congregation has to them, the responsibility that the congregation has to the elders, to the leadership. And we want to look at several things, and we'll address several things about the elders and what their responsibility is, what our responsibility to them is, different things of that nature this morning. On that, along those lines, I found out, it was Friday I found out, there is, and I've spoken to our elders about this, it's a leadership seminar. So they said, actually, it's open to everyone and anyone, but certainly to elders, their wives, the preachers, deacons, or anyone who's interested in learning more about leadership, for that matter, if you're just interested in the leadership of the church. It's going to be in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, at the Kensington Woods congregation there in Hattiesburg, on February the 22nd. And they're supposed to be sending me some information about it. I had asked about it. I'd heard about it last fall, and I had asked about it. I guess I spoke to the wrong person. I spoke to the preacher instead of their secretary. You want to talk to the man in charge or the woman who knows what's going on, I think is the question, in the way that usually is stated. But I called back over there to the church building there and spoke with the secretary, and she said she'd be sending us out the information about the starting time. Brother Wendell Winkler, I believe, is going to be the main speaker teaching on that topic. He was one of my instructors, in fact, the head of the Bible department at Faulkner while I was there, and he certainly has the experience in working with elders and leadership and being a preacher himself and many other things, and the knowledge as well. I don't know if there's a man living who has any better Bible knowledge than he does. If there is, I haven't met him yet. It's frightening to me. He can just pick up a verse and look at that verse and have a 3-point sermon outlined in about 20 seconds. I mean, it's just amazing to me. But anyone that would be interested in going to that, like I said, we will have more information on it. Leadership is important. There are so many aspects of leadership that we can't even begin probably to cover all of them this morning, but we do want to look a little bit at the way that God arranged the church and the way He intended for it to be led. There are, if you look throughout the religious world, many different ways that churches have set themselves up to be led. Some are led by all the churches in the whole world are led by one man, as the Catholic Church is, where there's just one man who's the head over all of it. He tells everything, how everything is supposed to be done. There are then other churches that are led by a group of men, or a board of directors as such, different things like that. They do all of these different things, and some churches are led by a group of men, whereas other churches individually are led by just one man. And some churches are independent. That one church in that community is led by one man, or sometimes in cases, a woman. But the question is, what does the Bible say about that? How does the Bible teach? What did Jesus say? What did His apostles teach about the way that the church is supposed to be led? Is it okay for one man to be the pastor of the church, or for that matter, for a woman to be the pastor of the church? Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that okay or not? Well, we want to look at some of the things that the Bible does teach. First of all, we want to notice this. The idea of leadership is certainly not something that's new to the Christian age. There have always been the need for leadership, both in the secular world, where we had everything from kings to our present day type of arrangement that we have in this country, where we've got judges and then lawmakers or Congress, and then we've got a president, and we have, have all of those checks and balances and things like that. There's always been the need for leadership. In the Old Testament, there were, to begin with, what we call the patriarchal age, where each man just led his family, and he was the leader of his family. And there wasn't really a larger picture. There weren't a lot of nations at that time. to have to deal with. But a man would lead his family and his children and his grandchildren, and he would be the patriarch or the leader of their family. Then after the patriarchal age came the law of Moses in the land of Israel. Now there were other nations by that time, and most of them were led by one man, one king, who had absolute rule, and whatever he said went. Israel was not set up that way. The Bible taught a different plan, and that was that God is the leader, and that then we follow him. And by the time Jesus comes along, we read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about elders, but not the elders of the Christian age yet, still the elders of the Mosaical age, under the law of Moses. Give a couple of examples of that. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 20, it says, "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus." So, that's certainly, hopefully, not the elders of the churches that are doing that. No, we see those are the Jewish leaders. They were the leaders of the Jewish people at that time. And they had a lot of influence. Another case in Mark chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Here Jesus has come into a conflict with some of the Pharisees, who were another group of leaders. Notice what it says. They were complaining because his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. In verse 3 it says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels, and of tablets," or tables rather. "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" Now, the idea here is that there were these elders, and elder simply means older. There were these older men who had traditions. There's nothing wrong in a tradition in and of itself. We all have lots of traditions. These men had a tradition that they washed their hands before they passed that on. They taught other people, wash your hands before you. We do the same thing. We teach our children, go wash your hands before you come to eat. Well, it's certainly a good thing to do for cleanliness, for hygiene. But these people had gone a step further, and they tried to make it a religious law, as though it was equal to a command of God. And Jesus condemned them for that. But we see that these elders had a great deal of influence over the people under the law of Moses. But what about in the New Testament, after Jesus' death? Once the church is founded, how is that church to be led? Is it still going to be led by these traditions of the elders and by the Pharisees? Or is it going to be by the law of Moses? Or how is it going to be done? Well, it's not going to be done any of those ways. Jesus sets up a new way. In fact, we see then in the New Testament church three different names or descriptions for the group that is to be the leaders of the church. One is that word that we looked at already from the Old Testament, elder, or elders, plural of that. Another word is bishop, or overseer. And the third word is pastor, or shepherd. Now each of these three words is significant, because each of these three words that describe that leadership position describes a different aspect of it, a different part of their responsibility. The first word, elder, simply describes that you don't want young, unexperienced, unwise, foolish children to be leading. You want the older, wiser, more experienced people to be leading. And that's the term elder then is applied to these men who lead. But the word bishop or overseer explains their responsibility in that, notice that word, overseer. One who looks over or sees over something. We might think of terms in our language that we use like a manager. That's basically what these men do. They manage the church. They oversee it. They make sure that things are done as they should be. That's their responsibility. And then we see that third word, and we'll look at passages that involve all of these. That third word, pastor, or shepherd. And the idea of that word, a shepherd, what does a shepherd do for the sheep? Well, the shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep and feeds and waters the sheep. So that, too, carries with it a different side of the coin, so to speak. It carries with it another section of the responsibility that that group of men has. Now, we see in several places in the New Testament that there should be more than one man in charge of a congregation. There should never be a case where one man is in charge. If that one man goes wrong, the whole church will go wrong. That's why if there are a multitude, or at least a plurality, more than one, in the leadership, if one goes wrong, the others can stand for the right and deal with that one who's gone wrong. We'll look at a couple of verses. First of all, in the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Apostle Paul, writing to the preacher Titus, tells him this: "For this cause, or for this reason, lest I be in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee." Notice what he says, ordain elders, plural, more than one, in every city. Now, unlike the world today, where there are maybe hundreds of different churches all teaching all sorts of different things in a town or a city, at this time there was one church in the city. There was only one church, and that church was in the city. So in every city, he's supposed to ordain these elders. Now here also is in this section of scriptures where we see that the word elder and the word bishop or overseer go hand in hand, because notice what he says. I set in order the things that are wanting, I ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. And then he goes on to list some of the qualifications. If you're more interested in some of those qualifications, we have several takes out there on the qualifications for the elder or the bishop. But notice how he uses these terms interchangeably. He says, I want you to appoint elders, and then he says, for a bishop must be all of these things. He uses those two terms to signify the same individual, and to point out that they go hand in hand, those two words. But we see there that elders in every city. We see also in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, if Titus didn't make it clear enough for us, Acts chapter 14 should certainly clear up the matter of whether there is just going to be one elder or one bishop or one pastor over the church, or whether there's going to be more than one. Chapter 14 and verse number 23, talking about as the apostles Paul and Barnabas went about on their missionary journey, as it's often referred to, verse 23 says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church. Notice it didn't say they ordained an elder or a pastor in every church. It says they ordained elders in every church. More than one in every church. And so that's how we know that there is to be more than one man in the leadership of the church. And we understand then that it's as a group that these elders have the authority. An individual elder has no more authority than any other member of the congregation. But as a group, they are the leaders of the church. and they have that authority. Now, certainly, there are many cases where one of the elders speaks for the group. And we understand that when he's speaking for the group, he's speaking with the authority of the whole group. But we see also then many other places where the word elder, or rather the plural elders, is referred to. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 30, Acts chapter 15 and verse 2, Acts chapter 15 and verse 4 and verse 6, verses 22 and 23, Acts chapter 16 and verse 4, Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, 1 Timothy 5:17, James 5:14, and each of these carries with it a little bit of a different idea. Well, look at a few of these. James 5 and verse 14 says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." This is something that many times in our society today has gotten pushed over to the preacher. And we say, "If I'm sick, I'm going to call the preacher." Well, certainly the preacher, as much as every other member, ought to be concerned about the sick of the congregation and involved in visiting them and praying for them. But the Bible teaches that if you're sick and you really need the prayers, the elders are the ones. They're the leaders. They're the ones that are there to oversee and to shepherd or to care for, just as the shepherd cares for the sheep. I think it's because of this, the way that some of these things have been passed on to the preacher as though it's his job, that in the world around us, in the religious world, we've come to see the preacher as the pastor. Because many times, it's the preacher that's doing these tasks. He's the one that's going and visiting the sick and praying for people. He's the one that's doing all of the preaching and teaching many times and things of that nature. But in the Bible, it was the elders that were responsible for that. Now, certainly they had, we saw Titus was a preacher. They had preachers that did preach and teach. But the elders are, of course, responsible for overseeing what that young man or older man, depending on the congregation and the preacher that's working with them, they're responsible for seeing that what he preaches and teaches is the truth. And so it's very important that the elders be well-read and well-versed, so to speak, in the Scriptures. They have to know when someone gets up to preach or to teach, if something is taught that's not true to the Scriptures, it's their responsibility to know that and to respond to it. We see that in the qualifications that were given for elders. We see that in Titus chapter 1. We saw those. A bishop, verse 7 of Titus chapter 1, where we were reading earlier, a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Notice verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. And so, Paul tells Titus that when you're looking for these men, you need to look for men who know the Scriptures and know how to teach. On the other side, then, as a congregation, we have responsibilities to those elders. We have the responsibility to listen to their wisdom. We talked about this. They're older. They have the experience. They have the knowledge. If they're holding fast the word that's been taught to them, they have the knowledge of the Scriptures. And so, when we have a question about something, we're going to seek out a new convert. We're going to seek out somebody in the neighborhood to ask our question. We're going to call up a radio talk show or something. No! If we have a question about the Scriptures, we're going to go to those who know the answer. Notice how this was done. Even Paul, he was an apostle now, mind you. But notice what happens in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 2. I want us to notice this. This is very significant. Many times, you know, we listen to some talk show on television or, you know, read some self-help book or any number of things to try to figure out the answers to questions, instead of going to the elders of the church and through them going to the scriptures, to the Word of God, we're going to all the wrong places. Notice what happened in Acts chapter 15. There was a problem that came up. Verse 1 says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." Okay, well, we don't have that particular problem a lot nowadays, but we're all the time being told things. All sorts of things. People will tell us this or that or the other thing. We need to find out the truth. We need to get an answer to those questions sometimes. Well, notice what happened. It says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them," that means, in other words, they had a big argument about it, because Paul and Barnabas didn't think they were right. Now, Paul's an apostle. Now, you would think that an apostle, well, he could have just said so right then, but that's not what happened. Notice what happened. "They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Now, we know from other scriptures in the Bible that each congregation is to be led by its own elders. But sometimes it may be useful for one congregation to ask advice of another congregation. Maybe another congregation has gone through the same experience that you're now facing. So you may ask the leadership, "How did you handle this? When such and such arose, how did you answer that? Have you studied this particular problem? What does the Bible teach us?" And you can gain a lot of insight from that. And that's what happened here. Paul and Barnabas and some of the others from this particular congregation where they were went to Jerusalem. Now, one of the reasons they went to Jerusalem is that's where the majority of the apostles were. And the apostles were, at that time, because of the miraculous gifts that they had through the Holy Spirit that they had received from Jesus, because of those miraculous abilities that they had, they had authority over the whole church. We don't have apostles anymore today. We have the things that they wrote and that were written by those inspired by the Holy Spirit in the Bible. So the Bible is the closest equivalent to the apostles that we have in the church today. So the highest authority on earth for us as human beings are the elders. The elders, then, if they have a question that they can't answer in and of themselves, they have to go to the highest authority that we have on earth, which isn't human, and that is the Bible. And the Bible, of course, comes from God. So it goes straight to His authority. So there are certain things, obviously, that the elders can make a decision on themselves. And they just use their own wisdom and common sense. What's the best time for us to meet on Sunday? Well, the elders can sit down and say, "Well, you know, we've been meeting at such and such a time, but, you know, because of this reason or that reason, this isn't the best time. We need to meet at a different time." They can do that. They don't have to go to the scriptures to do that. Now, if on the other hand somebody says, "Well, I think we ought to start meeting on Saturday instead of Sunday for worship," well then, well, hopefully the elders know the scriptures well enough to know, "Wait a minute, we're supposed to meet together on the first day of the week." And they can answer that. And they can then go to the scriptures to show. So there are some things that are just a matter of opinion where they can discuss it and make a decision themselves. There are other things that are matters of faith that they have to go to the Bible to answer. Well, here was a question that had arisen, and Paul and Barnabas had this discussion with some of these Jewish brethren about what was right or wrong. And so they then had to go and get an answer. They wanted to go discuss it with some other leaders. But notice they went to the apostles and elders about this question. And they discussed this question. Verse 4 says that when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And so then in verse 5, the problem comes up about that circumcision. In verse 6, the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Now see, this was something that hadn't been written about yet. They didn't have the written word like we do. So they had to, through their miraculous gifts, through their inspiration from the Holy Spirit, to know the answers to these things. Today, if that question were to come back up, We could come right here to Acts chapter 15 and see what those apostles and elders in the first century who had that miraculous inspiration from God said about it. So we could go right to that. But notice that when a problem came up, they didn't go and ask the scribes and Pharisees what the law of Moses taught on it. They didn't go ask the Roman government what they thought about it. They went to the elders and the apostles. We need to do the same thing. We're going to have to continue this next week. We got a little bit of a late start today, but probably would have had to have anyway because there's so much material here. We're going to look next week a little more about the use of the word pastors or pastor in the New Testament. What does it say about that? And we're going to deal even more with this relationship between the elders and the congregation. So we see that the elders are to lead the congregation. They're to oversee it. They're to watch over, to manage it, to make sure that things are done as they should be. And they are to shepherd the flock. In other words, to care for it, to see that they're fed. Now, the shepherd may not always do the feeding himself. The shepherd may hire someone to feed the sheep, but it's still his responsibility. Just as the elders in the church may hire a preacher to preach, or they may appoint Jason to teach the adult Bible class, or they may appoint some of these ladies to teach the children's classes, but they're still responsible for seeing that all of the sheep get fed. They're responsible for that. And responsible for seeing that they're fed good food, and not fed spoiled food or poisonous food. And so that's part of their responsibility. On the other side of that coin, then, is the congregation's responsibility to listen and learn and obey what is being taught. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you haven't been following the leadership as you should. Perhaps you've been rebelling against it. Perhaps you've been living in accordance to the rules of the world or in the rules of some other religion or some other doctrine other than what comes from the Scriptures. They need to respond to the invitation this morning. If you're not a Christian, then you may need to become one this morning. To put Christ on in baptism after having believed in Jesus as the Son of God and repenting of your sin, confessing Him as the Son of God. To wash your sins away and to become a new creature in Christ. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.